Understood. Beep, beep, beep. Now communicating, logging on. Beep, beep, gah. Beep, beep, gah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Next Lander Watchcast. I am your host, Alex Navarro, and folks, if you thought we were in it before, let me tell you right now, we are maybe the most in it we have been in quite some time. Here in Serial Experiments Lane, our first foray into the world of anime, and what a foray it is! Ain't that right, Vinny Caravella?
I thought I was focusing in on some kind of method to their madness here, and then three episodes later, it's like, might as well have shot that theory through a prism, because they introduce a lot of things in these three episodes that I assume they think they're trying to explain things.
More questions than answers. Some things.
yeah.
You know, there are some concepts that are being addressed here. Isn't that right, Brad Shoemaker?
Sure. Yeah, you might say that. I'm just here to celebrate a little personal victory.
Okay.
Yes.
As I said last week, you can't get away with using that cool shot of Lane's bedroom as a Twitter banner anymore. But it makes a sublime phone lock screen.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Holding up your phone and it looks beautiful.
And nobody can take that away from me, and no one will ever know except when I talk about it on a podcast.
I'm very jealous. That looks very good.
Hey, man, Lane of the Wire might know.
Yeah.
She might be looking in on your phone right now. We are, as I said, very deep here into the 13-episode run of Serial Experiments Lane. This week's layers are Society, Rumors, and Protocol, episodes 7 through 9. And, you know, I think we left off last week thinking, like, okay, yes, there's a lot of things being introduced here. There's a lot of stuff that seems to be kind of getting at some notions of subconscious in the blending of the worlds of the wired and the real. And then, boy, just a whole fucking dump truck full of that shit just falls on your head in these episodes. I mean, I guess we should probably start with episode 7, but I mean, just, where are you guys at? How you doing? Where do you want to start with this?
I don't know, man. I'm really not sure.
I feel like we were bouncing around. I was between what reality are we in? Are we in a constructed reality that Lane lives in? All right. Sorry. Let me say this.
Let's back this up here a second. All right. What do you got?
We have The Wired,
mm-hmm.
which is this internet, this future internet that kind of meshes, you know, Second Life and 1990s GeoCities style stuff, and kind of a mishmash of all this, where you can have a projection of yourself or some kind of an avatar of yourself.
Virtual personification of some kind.
Lane is obviously, I mean, I'm just trying to go through the things that I think are stated as fact here. Lane has some kind of manifestation, or there is a manifestation of Lane in The Wired that everybody seems to know that acts differently than the Lane that is in the quote-unquote real world.
Right.
Lane's family's fucked.
Like, there's that, yes.
Lane's sister has basically gone bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Lane's dad has been progressively getting weirder. Lane's mom has never quite been engaged at all.
Right.
We got the kind of weird Men in Black FBI guys that are sometimes helping Lane, sometimes not. And then we have the Knights, who are, basically kind of anonymous, anonymous hacker group analog in The Wired. And we're not really quite sure what their motivations are. Later on top of all of those things that I think we can take as givens, there's a whole, like, philosophical layer of is God in The Wired? What is real life?
Who is talking to Lane when she is sometimes in The Wired and sometimes even in the real world? What is this voice that keeps seeming to punch through?
Things are happening in the real world that shouldn't be happening in the real world.
Is the Bush family involved somehow?
Yes, always. So those are the things leading up to this episode where I basically was of kind of a mind that, all right, it is possible we have some kind of situation of a kind of mass hypnotic event going on, or some kind of mass delusion of of something going on where Lane is able to, or there's a collective consciousness. This is what I was talking about last time, because there was the whole experiments going on, right?
Yes.
The experiments with the kid. Did they create this pocket universe called the Wired through the, what did they call it? It wasn't Espers. It was some other Final Fantasy like thing where like they everybody's got a little ESP. Every kid's got a little bit of a
They got magic. A little of that ESP in them.
Yeah, that you can. They project. They collected it all. Did they create this pocket universe called the Wired in doing so, and then destroyed it with their black box plans? I forget what the plans were called. Somebody else has taken those plans, recreated it.
It was the kids' project, and then there was the Kensington experiment or something along those lines. Yes,
and then somebody has those projects is now able to recreate whatever they were trying to do, but wirelessly without the collectors or the amplifiers. That they were using the original experiment, which sounds like they are able to do this gathering of ESPs to manifest into something without actually having to have you in a room hooked up to a machine.
Cool. So everything you just described right there is totally enough to carry an entire 13-episode arc if you wanted to. So instead of that, what if we added about 17 more things on top of that? In addition to all of that, and try and make sense with all how all those things connect too.
It's like basically these three episodes feel like, okay, what if you then wrote that on a napkin and handed it to Kojima and said, okay, run with this.
Yeah, I lied, by the way, when I said the thing that happened last week was the most Metal Gear thing that happens, because episode 9 triples, quadruples that.
If Metal Gear Solid 1 had not come out before this... I would have very much felt like he was just cribbing from this show directly.
It is uncanny.
I mean,
it's really wild.
I guess MGS1 does some of that. I haven't played it in a very long time. They do a little interspersing old footage in there, but it feels like he went way harder in that direction later.
Yes. MGS2 in particular.
Xanadu Project.
The thing about 7 is that I have been wondering throughout if at some point I should start taking the title of the show literally, in the sense that perhaps Lane herself is involved in some kind of experiments or is an experiment herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the part in this where her, her lineage, her parentage starts coming into question. And is she even a real human being? Is she of some other artificial origin? What is going on? You know, that stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Like that was the big revelation. Like obviously a huge revelation of this episode was going like, okay, that particular idea that I've had may not describe what's actually being revealed here, but clearly there's something not normal about her origins and the way she relates to her family, in quotes.
I think the thing you can absolutely take away and feel pretty definitive about is that whatever Lane may have thought her family was, it's not that.
These episodes, if I could just cut to the chase here, basically flip a little bit of what I was thinking on its head and say, oh, maybe Lane is in the Wired and her projection in the real world is the artificial thing. And the more real thing is that she is a product of the Wired and able to project herself into the thoughts of people in the quote unquote real world or whatever,
right.
Whatever is going on there. But not that there's something going on the reverse of that. Whatever's going on, maybe she doesn't really exist in the physical world and there's some kind of nonsense happening there is what I came to think at the end of these episodes.
Well, there's some things that they touch on here and there, like there, and I forget what the exact name of the theory is, but there's that notion that the universe and the way that we perceive it in the physical form is in its own way like a giant hologram or something. And there's a little bit of a like, hey, you know, in the Wired, you are essentially a digital perception or, you know, personification of yourself. So what if a being of the Wired existed in the real world? Would that in its own way be kind of a hologram of someone from a different plane? But they don't really explain any of that. They just kind of allude to the idea of like, are you real? Are you a hologram? What are you?
My notes that I was able to take for episode 7 basically before I just stopped taking notes.
That's probably for the best, yeah.
I just wrote, oh, this is the horny episode.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is the, I love the guy, the delivery guy who's like trying to, I can help set up your computer if you need.
Trying to do his porno setup.
Yeah. And then just
with the single mom.
This gets like booted out the door. Yeah. Okay.
There's also the executive, like the executive and who I assume is his secretary.
Oh, yes. The basic instinct moment.
Yes.
Yes. Extremely. Like.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the characters being horny, or are you talking about the showrunners being horny, or both?
It could be both.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, at one point, Alice is pretty horny for her teacher, which is, unfortunately revealed.
Yeah. So the lady who gets the chip,
mm-hmm.
or the whatever she gets, is she a knight, or do we think she's a knight?
Let's focus in a little bit on layer 7 and what actually happens in order here, because I feel like if we get too far out of here, we're going to lose track of where we are and what's going on. Let's start where the episode begins, which is the, I think, the most important question anywhere in the show, which is, how is Lane's computer after the explosion? The answer is it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
Totally fine.
All that busted-ass cooling equipment is just dangling out the window. She's got new shit. It's somehow gotten a little bit bigger, but it is basically the same, you know, contraption that it was before. And, you know, she's just kind of wandering around in the wire talking to someone when Alice walks in and just starts making weird sounds.
Oh, Alice. Alice is...
Or not Alice, Mika, sorry, her sister.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
What, Mika?
If you thought Mika was out to lunch in the last few, this one, it really, it's worrisome, is how I would describe it.
She doesn't seem like she's doing well.
I think someone legitimately unplugged her brain.
Yeah, she's just kind of babbling.
Now I'm running with what you suggested earlier and thinking, has Mika become one with the Wired? Is the real Mika in the Wired and this is just a projection of her digital self now?
I hope so, because we did get that alternate Mika, right? That showed up at some point on the doorstep.
Like there was a very aware Mika running around a bunch of weird quasi digital situations.
Yes.
And now all there is this weird flesh husk that keeps wandering around and making strange sounds.
Yeah. So maybe, look, I'm gonna hope that, because I like Mika. I like the sister. I hope she is having a better time somewhere else. And not just this kind of husk wandering around the house.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of wandering, the next bit we encounter is this guy who I'm going to say, okay, do you remember when Justin TV started?
Uh-huh. That's exactly what I thought of, yes.
Yes, him and his weird fucking camera backpack and the whole, like, you know, like kind of the early idea of walking around streaming yourself doing dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is. In the real world, in this anime, with his VR helmet and his backpack full of fucking antenna and other shit, wandering through, you know, stylized vision of the real world, while he's kind of halfway between the Wired and the real world, and he seems to be pleading to the knights that he wants to join their cause.
I could tell right away. That's not how you do it.
No.
I know what you mean. The real world and the Wired are linear in their connections. I can exist anywhere that I desire. No matter where my body is at any particular time, I can release my consciousness anywhere I want, anytime I want.
This guy is clearly a wannabe in every possible way. The kind of guy who, like, completely tries to establish himself through pure, like, gear purchases and nothing else.
I feel like the knights, even I can tell, the knights are people that approach you. You don't approach the knights.
If you approach the knights, it's not going to end well for you, probably.
Right. Probably.
But I do love this visual of this guy. Like, if you want a complete, you know, clear visual of what, like, a Wired, obsessed weirdo would be in this world, here you go.
Yeah. And he's got his umbrella, too, just in case it rains.
Mm-hmm.
Always prepared.
And the next bit is where we cut to this office scene with this very handsome executive and this sexy secretary, as they seem to have some kind of weird flirtation while this dude opens up an email that has, I think, the Knights logo. I think that is what they are establishing, that this is the logo of the Knights.
Is it a basically like a Masonic, like, is it like a compass?
Vaguely,
that,
yes.
That then hinges? Is that
Well,
what
again,
we're...
their name is the Knights of the Eastern Calculus, so it would make sense.
I think there's a crucifix in there somewhere, too.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll believe it.
There always is.
Yeah, he seems taken. Also, vertical monitor.
You know,
Yeah, it's too early.
There were vertically oriented CRTs, I believe, at the time, but man, that's an uncommon sight.
There's something a little depraved about it, I find. I don't know that I want to look at computer information in that kind of format.
Yeah, it's. I think that's cool, though. It's like it feels very ahead of its time. This guy was looking at web pages.
Just kind of seems like a little interlude to convey that, like, people are getting sucked into this stuff, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, I mean, you know, there's the next shot is that weird nerd that is sort of, like, you know, huddled on his floor with the little computer and just, like, trash everywhere. Not entirely sure exactly how that guy connects to everything, but he's also got a thing on his computer with the logo on it.
He's cracking it, man. Mm-hmm. He's better than everyone else, and he is.
So, you know, you're getting some establishing shots here of people who, at the very least, seem to have some kind of connection to the Knights, though what exactly is currently unclear.
Yeah, and then the extended sequence of the housewife and the delivery guy, and she seems to be deep in it.
She talks about having a side hustle.
Yeah.
And that job is what paid for her quote-unquote brand new Navi. You know, she seems like a giant computer nerd herself, though in these episodes you don't see what her side job is. All you know is that she gets an envelope in the mail that has a, I believe, one of the Knights logo chips that is a frequent occurrence in these episodes.
And her son's playing some cool video games.
Yeah.
Yeah, was that Afterburner? I don't know.
It's an Afterburner-like, at least.
Hey, Mom. Can I go over to Kenya's to play later? I won't be out late.
If you're going to play a game, can't you just play it over the net?
But, Mom, I have to be there. He's going to teach me how to play it.
The Wired is really the same thing as the real world.
And I do love this mom's attitude of, hey, I want to go over to my friend's house and play. And she's like, you can just play with him on the internet. You don't need to go outside.
Yeah, it was such a weird inversion of the parent is the internet obsessive and the kid knows nothing about it.
Yep. The kid doesn't really know how to play the game even. He's like, no, I want my friend to show me. And she's like, nah, you'll be fine. Just sit in front of the screen. Don't go outside.
I also really enjoyed watching her rebuff the delivery guy's advances.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which are, you know, look, I mean, he's making a pass at her, but he's not being super creepy or anything. Well, she's just like, yeah, whatever, see ya.
Is this how you roll? Okay.
Yeah.
Ha ha, here comes my kid.
You always hitting on lonely housewives?
Yeah.
Before we get to them, though, there is this little moment here with Alice and Lane where she is like, you know, they're like, Lane is having a hard time with all of this, and Alice is kind of just like, hey, you know, we hope we weren't putting too much pressure on you. We just wanted to take you out, make you feel better, whatever. You know, they have a nice little moment of friendship here, which unfortunately is going to have some problems later on, but...
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. You know, we can fix it. We can fix everything.
We can fix everything.
Yeah. And then, you know, some more Knight stuff, more things involving, you know, people in the Wired... People talking about Lane. This is where the housewife stuff happens, where the delivery man, it's the same delivery man from before, if we didn't mention it, that brought Lane her Navi.
Yeah, it's Navi guy.
Yeah. One thing I really enjoy is this, like, shot of her, like, looking at this package with the bubble wrapped Knight's chip in it and just, like, her eyes narrowing and just kind of being like, all right, time to go to work.
Yeah. I didn't know what her deal was, or I was very unclear. Later on, you get a little bit maybe more context for her. She comes back up in some visuals.
Yes. Later. I mean, the thing is, you're not really supposed to know who any of these people are. You know, the only thing that seems to be connecting them is this, like, stuff involving the Knight's chips that seem to be appearing. But this is kind of one of the... Well, I'm just saying, there's multiple info dumps in all of these episodes. But I think this is probably one of the more vital ones here. Where the men in black start to reveal themselves.
Well, this is like kind of the entire episode. Everything else we have just described was just sort of prelude, and the entire rest of the episode is this.
Yeah. So the men in black show up at her house again, only this time they just start talking directly to her, and they're like, hey, we'd like you to come with us.
Hey, we're not going to force you, but we have no intention to harm you. Very agreeable if you got in the car, Lane.
Yeah, we'll tell you who we are if you can just get in the car with us. And all this stuff is interspersed with more footage of the weird VR goggle man making his pleas to the knights, though as that is happening, he starts to see images of Lane, who starts communicating with him a little bit.
But it's like Jerk Lane.
It's Jerk like, Lane. Yeah, it's Lane of the Wired. And, you know, it seems like Lane of the Wired is communicating, if not on behalf of the knights, but in their stead. And he doesn't really seem to know what that means. He seems to think that she might just be one of the knights.
Love a good Jerk Lane. You know, just put a little pineapple on there.
Oh, yeah. Spicy.
And then Lane walks in on everyone's dad, whose whose computer is open on the ground. Really, I'm stuck here, Lane.
Could you come here for a minute? I can't get the main office's firewall system to recognize this machine. I've done everything I can on the application end of things. It's hopeless with an old machine like this one I've got here. But I've gotten so used to using this thing, I just can't work up the interest to switch to a new Navi, I guess. No, not at my age. But I tell you, if I were as young as you...
That jumper over there.
Huh?
Try removing this jumper and that jumper over there.
I'm sorry, but could you possibly do it for me, please?
Huh?
Did we mention this is the Tachibana?
Yes, this is HQ? The Tachibana General Laboratory's Shinbashi office.
Or maybe not HQ, yeah, but an office. Although it basically seems like a rented... apartment or something.
Or at the very least is abandoned, like, from what it was before.
Just like an empty office room or something.
But yeah, this is a really good visual. This guy who says he's too old to figure out how to fix his computer, though also he looks like 30.
These are complicated computers.
Yeah, well, yeah, it seems like he's baiting her, right? He's, like, trying to get her to do something.
Yes. And what he's saying is, you know, that he can't get the main office's firewall to recognize and allow through this old-ass machine that he has. It's like, oh, could you help me? Could you find a way to get this computer to connect through the thing that I want? And all she does is, what does she do? She pulls off a couple of, jumpers.
It's like the biggest jumpers I've ever seen.
Giant jumpers, but she puts some kind of card in there, which... The only reason I really remember that is because the fan has a lot of tiny writing on it, which is such a detail that I love from this thing.
It's a very accurate, in fact, thermalloy, it looks like.
Yeah, thermalloy.
Is the brand they came up with, which is a pretty damn good name for a Pacific Rim fan company.
12 volts.
12 volts. It's like very, like... Only people who have spent a lot of time inside a computer would take the time to write that on the dang label of a fan.
The thing I really love is how, like, child sketch all the, like, text on the actual board is. It looks like it's just someone drew with it on a chalkboard.
Sure, yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, gets the card online, gets the computer online. And as soon as that computer goes online, she starts seeing a horrible vision of herself doing something bad.
Authorized.
Well.
So, Lane, are you of the knights?
You are, aren't you, Lane? I had no idea!
You moron!
Oh, wait, please listen to me. That game, the one you've been playing with the kids lately, is the greatest. You gotta get me in on action. You're the only one I can turn to. Just give me a break. Just this one time, Lane. But I have a better idea. Please make me one of you. Make me a knight, I beg you. Please make me one of you. Please.
And then we're into, like, exposition land. Or, like, the first of, like...
I'd say this is more like question land, like exposition by way of question, because all this dude does is start pelting her with questions.
Tell me, Lane Iwakura, are you and the Lane in the Wired in reality one and the same person? Who are you, Lane?
I'm...
Do you know if your parents are truly your real parents? Is your sister your real sister?
What are you asking me? Of course, certainly.
How about your father's birthday? Can you tell me when that is?
Well, sure. Dad's birthday
And how about your mother's birthday? Do you know when that is? Do you have any idea when your parents were married? Did they meet or was it arranged?
That's something I really don't know. That's because I...
How could you not know? You never even asked, did you? You never celebrated a birthday in your family that you can remember. How about when you were a little girl? Not even then? When and where were you born, Lane?
What does it matter?
You don't know. You don't know any of it. Are you okay? Are you certain that you have nothing to tell me?
Why don't you shut up? Who the hell cares about any of that old crap anyway? Don't waste my time.
I see. You're Lane of the Wired, aren't you?
What if I am?
So, like, in the footage of the guy who's running around... Is that actual video?
You think, yes, filtered? I think that's live action footage.
Okay, very good.
That has added a bunch of weird stylized bullshit on top of it.
I love it. Yeah, this guy kind of starts going into the nature of like the Wired, questioning the nature of the Wired, and
and the Knights especially.
Yeah, and like he says something about like it's a little Metal Gear here too with political boundaries.
Yes,
and,
I was just about to, that line is I just love his disdain. It's like some say that there are no political borders in the Wired, like in the real world, but there are far too many nonsense spouting anarchists or idiots who think that pranks are a revolution.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
And this if that doesn't sum media up the current state of the internet, holy shit!
Yeah.
And Lane's freaking out. Like,
yeah,
she's not reacting well to all of this.
Well, it starts out okay, in the, just sort of talking about the Knights and, kind of acknowledging the fact that she's been in communication with them to some degree. And then, kind of saying, like, I don't really know what they want to use you for, but obviously they have some goal in mind. And the Knights are not just these pranksters or anarchists. Like, they have some other larger goal in mind. And then when she's kind of starts to say, like, yeah, I don't really care. I'm not dealing with you anymore. That's when he starts throwing questions like, so, yeah, is your family really your family?
Which she just, you feel kind of bad for her because she clearly does. And she's like, yeah. And then he's like, what's their birthday?
Is your sister your real sister?
Yeah.
When were you born?
Yeah.
Where were you born?
Yeah.
What do you know?
Yeah. Pressing her on when is your birthday and her not being able to answer was like pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because he really just keeps hammering on it. And, look, this is as close as the show is ever going to get, I think, to just outright stating, like, hey, that thing you think is true is not true. Clearly something's up with her family and her life and whatever her real world existence is that is not what she believed it to be.
Yeah, she is. And I think she, I don't know, like, in this moment with the character, she seems like the ground has shifted underneath her.
Yeah. Like, well, very literally, because at a certain point after getting hammered with this stuff, she literally changes personalities.
Yes.
Midway through the conversation. And as she is getting more and more distressed and, kind of it all falls apart, she just sort of, Lane of the Wired, presumably, surfaces. And this is the first time, as far as I can recall, where we have seen Lane of the Wired exist in the flesh world in, like, her body. Like, we know that someone at Siberia had been encountering her in the real world with a different personality. There's been a lot of talk about Lane of the Wired sort of existing and sort of, like, interacting with people in a way that she did not understand. But we have not just seen Lane of the Wired manifest this way and talk to someone in the real world like this.
And we also get, the main guy says, like, hey, something's happening. We're not sure what it is, but we want to stop it. Something big's going to happen, right? And then when she tries to leave, that guy with the blue eyes basically says, like, you're the problem.
Or, Carl?
Is his name Carl?
Carl.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, he grabs her and is like, you're the problem. You're dangerous. You're the dangerous thing.
Also, right? It was right after he got done doing this big fucking shadow man thing. It was like, I don't have a name. And they, you don't need to know their names. And then he just yells out, Carl, what the fuck?
Also, when he was like, we're not going to hurt you, we're all fine. I mean, he seems, I'm going to say from my take on it, he seems pretty freaked out. Like,
yeah.
This whole thing seems maybe above his pay grade.
Yeah, I don't really know what his pay grade is, and we still don't really know who this guy is. I mean, presumably he has something to do with Tachibana and, you know, all the stuff what they do in The Wired, but, you know, he does not necessarily reveal himself totally here. It is more just like, you know, I'm letting you know that I'm out here watching, that I know that the Knights are after you, but also, yo, you should go figure out your life, because everything you know is a lie.
Yeah, peace. Let it go.
One other detail from this sequence that kind of ties into this last little quick scene after this. One of the visions she has while they're kind of grilling her, isn't that the housewife, the executive, and the kind of slovenly nerd guy?
Yes.
Yeah,
that she sees?
Yeah. So that's where I thought, like, oh, maybe the housewife is part of the Wired, or sorry, part of the Knights, and, like, this group. Maybe they are part, she's part of some cabal or something, right?
Yeah.
Some insider group.
But right, those are the three people we saw earlier in the episode.
Right, right. So then after whichever lane it is storms out, we cut to this last quick scene of back in the housewife's apartment, and whatever purpose she needed that Knights board for, apparently it has served it, because it's like, also, is she going to wash it? It's in the sink with the dishes, and it's all burned up.
So this shot does two things. Like, one, kind of questions what she was doing with that board, and two, makes me really want one of these little trash can things for the corner of my sink to put food waste in.
Oh, I've got one of those.
Do you? Okay, because then it's like, oh, man, right. Yeah, stuff that can't go in the compost, and I'm just going to put it in this little bin over here.
That's e-waste. She needs to dispose of that properly.
No, she's just putting that in with the eggshells and whatever greens are going. That thing is recyclable. Don't worry.
I took it being in the sink to be a sign that at some point she just wanted to destroy this thing outright and probably just poured water over it.
I mean, it looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
It looks burnt out.
Yeah.
Maybe she set it on fire in the sink. I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever the case, it's not. You're not plugging that thing back in. And you're also not plugging in VR Man, because I think he's dead.
Is on, like, the side of the train tracks. Also, Mom seems super happy to go play some Afterburner with her kid.
Yeah, she's stoked, man.
Yeah.
All done with her work, apparently.
She's all finished. And VR Man is face down in a ditch.
Yes, extremely dead.
Did the Knights kill him? Who can say?
I mean, you know, he was the one seeing the vision of those three people, and then the next shot you see of him is him face down in a ditch. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they probably killed that guy.
You don't go looking for the Knights?
No.
Like I said, they come looking for you.
And when they come looking for you, go in the opposite direction, apparently.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. That's kind of where we leave off on that one, right? Isn't it the last shot? Yeah, with that dude.
And, you know, I mean, some of the stuff that is addressed here does come up in the next couple of episodes. But this, coming from where we were last week, this one really does throw some curveballs at you, especially with regards to Lane and her family and her existence in the real world. And I'm curious where you guys were feeling after you caught this one.
I'm intrigued, a little unsettled, but, like, calling her origins into question certainly is a gigantic wrinkle in the story.
Did you have any inclination toward that prior to them kind of dumping all this on you?
Not really.
Okay.
I think I was more where Brad stated before of, like, oh, is she some kind of anomaly or experiment, right? Like,
right.
Is she something that has been inserted here to cause mayhem or something at this point in it? Because we get some more stuff going on in these next two episodes.
Indeed, we do. Before we get to those episodes, though, we gotta take a quick break. So we will be right back. And we are back, and it is time for Layer 8, Rumors. I don't want to start any blasphemous rumors.
Uh-huh.
Lane does some fucked up shit in this one.
Yeah, or... Look,
well, A-Lane does some fucked up shit in this one.
Yes. Yeah. This is, this is unfortunate for poor Alice.
Yeah, I mean, until it isn't anymore.
Until they reset the Matrix.
Until we reset the Matrix. But we kick things off with Taro, one of the hacker moppets, That's just how I'm going to refer to them forever.
Fair.
With his giant sword in his virtual reality game going around being a player killer.
Nobody can be sure if there really is or not. You see, for the most part, it doesn't really matter to the user if God actually exists in the wire. You ask them, they don't care. Hey, just a second there, Lane. Before you go, let me take this guy out first.
What's so fun about this, Toddle? All you've been doing is killing all the other players.
Nobody really knows what's fun. And so no one can really understand why.
Is that what he
Nobody
doing?
Knows what's fun.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that's what he was supposed to be doing. Okay.
PK all day.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right.
That dude just loves to go around and cause havoc. And Lane is there, not so silently judging him constantly, just being like, oh, you fucking nerd. And then she eventually moves over to talking to some other voice who takes the form of a naked lady in the internet.
I enjoy the visual implication here of when she invades his game of everything else is super pixelated, including him, but she's not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As if she is existing on some higher digital plane.
As if her code is sort of existing completely free of wherever she chooses to exist there.
She's the one.
Yeah, pretty much. The one who can talk to this extremely tall, extremely naked woman who has a man's voice explaining 6th-gen and 7th-gen internet protocol, Brad Shoemaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, jumping ahead, that didn't make a ton of sense. Well, they've talked about protocols before, but they talked about it in the context of the two games they had bridged together.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping ahead to the next episode makes it more obvious the way they're using it here. They're basically talking about the software that runs the Wired.
Right.
So, like, that's not clear here, but it's probably good to know, because at the time I wasn't sure what they were getting at here.
Well, the thing they say, I think, in the next episode is that the throughput for Internet Protocol 6 had reached its upper limits. So that is what necessitated the invention of the mythical 7th protocol.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to finally know that anytime they're talking about these generations of protocols, they're basically, essentially, they're talking about the fabric of the Wired. Like,
yeah.
Like something that has the implications for the entirety of the digital space. In this.
They're saying that IPv6 doesn't have that juice anymore.
Web 7.0 is going to blow your mind. Just wait for it. Yeah, so this person's basically like an information broker out there, just another spot to grab some information. A little cryptic, you know?
Yeah. This is like maybe the most noir thing that happens in this show is her just talking to this, you know, with this information merchant, like you said, who has taken the avatar of horny lady from a porno site.
Yeah, like hacker with digital avatar of sexy lady is like super cyberpunk.
Yeah. And this is, okay, this next bit is maybe the single creepiest bit of family stuff that happens anywhere in this show. After she is done talking to her internet friends, she then revisits Mika again, who is once again muttering to herself in increasingly incoherent ways. And then she goes downstairs and goes to the kitchen and sees her parents sitting, staring straight forward, making no acknowledgement of her whatsoever.
Mommy... Daddy, can I ask? A while ago, somebody asked me a strange question. They asked, are you Lane Iwakura? And then they also wanted to know, are your parents really your parents? Isn't that funny? It's funny, isn't it? People say the funniest things, huh? Right?
And when she tries to engage them in conversation, they don't really acknowledge her until she starts walking out of the room, in which case, they just stare daggers at her.
Yeah.
I think it's next episode where you get a little bit of, like, a little more on the parents, right? Like, their interaction. But yeah, this was super weird, and, you know.
It's fucking creepy, it's is what it is.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, she's just, you know, trying to engage and be like, you know, I heard a funny thing the other day. I don't know. Isn't that funny? Isn't that weird? The idea that, you know, it's like, are your parents really your parents? I mean, who says something like that, right?
Hey, hey.
Death stare.
It's got a little bit of the, at this point, I think I was thinking of that. Is it the Twilight Zone episode where the, like, the little kid can alter reality and they all have to be like,
yes,
they all have to please the people. Otherwise, yeah.
Eventually okay. Parodied by The Simpsons. Yes.
Yeah. So that, of course, what isn't, of that vibe with that, like you're a danger to all of us.
Must not think bad thoughts. Lane of the Wired will know my bad thoughts.
Yeah, right.
Cannot have bad thoughts.
Exactly. Like, you know, they don't. They seem like they don't want to piss her off or do anything.
Yeah. But in a show that is mostly about unnerving you through incredibly elongated, still, silent shots of people doing weird shit, I feel like, despite the imagery in this one not being particularly psychedelic or surreal, just the way they look at her is just incredibly off-putting.
Oh yeah, no smiles, just frown, like scowling.
Yeah. And then from here, we start to get the sense that maybe something dark is happening, because Alice and Lane's friends approach her at school, and unlike the previous times when they're like, "Hey, did you do something weird in The Wired?" they seem unhappy.
Oh yeah.
Or panicked, but they never make it clear here what it is. They don't know that if she did or not, correct?
Right. Not in this moment, no.
This is another one that kind of, having watched the next episode, makes actual sense, but at the time is just like, what is happening? What are they asking about? Tell me more.
Yeah, all you know is that whatever it is they think Lane did, they seem like, not so much Alice, but the other two seem real pissed about it.
Yeah.
Super pissed. Like, Alice seems questioning, and then I think the teacher comes in and they all split, right?
Yeah.
Well,
the handsome teacher.
Well, Alice, she just basically kind of has a moment of calm and says, "No, there's no way you could have done it. I trust you." And then,
right.
Did we know this was the teacher? Have we ever seen this guy before?
I don't think we have seen him up to this point. Okay. Or if we have, it's only been in the background.
Again, in the next episode, all of what's going on here is revealed. But at the time, I was just like, who is this cool dude in this red car? And what's going on here? But they don't, as is the show's MO, they don't dwell on it. They just move on.
And what they move on to is Lane in school, not really paying attention to class, using her handheld navi to hang out in this area where a bunch of weird people avatars that only have bodies and mouths are chattering to themselves about a bunch of different stuff. Bugs in Protocol 6, having seen, you know, haunted places, pop stars, all this, like, just a lot of random chatter, it seems like. And then there's a little bit of stuff in here about the knights, but then that voice comes through again. The one that has been haunting Lane up to this point.
Yeah, more philosophical stuff, right? More like, you know, corporeal and the not real and bodies and... Poor Lane.
Don't you find any of it interesting?
Huh? Who's there?
You're looking for me, Lane, aren't you?
So God makes his grand entrance.
But how do you define your God? If it's the creator of the world, that's not me. The all-powerful ruler of the world? Surely you're mistaken. You give God too much credit.
So then, where are you?
Well, if you define God as one who exists everywhere in that other world out there, if that's what you mean, then yes, I suppose that you could call me that. I have only a slight influence on the overall workings of the world, however.
Who in the hell are you?
I am you. Surely you must have realized at some time that another you has always existed on its own terms here in the Wired. You are merely a hologram of that other you. You are essentially just a body.
You expect me to believe that? Impossible. It's crazy.
But you don't think that the you in the real world is the same as the one that's standing here in the Wired, do you?
Well, no. Because I'm me. I'm me.
And she, you know, she addresses this voice as God. She's like, God has finally arrived. The dais of the Wired has arrived. And this is where the voice starts kind of getting into the concepts of like, well, what kind of God do you think I am?
What kind of God is in the internet?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Like, I know what some people worship on the internet. could tell you from being on the internet for a while, the types of gods people create.
Well, this god, first off, says what kind of god I am not, which is to say, I am not the all-powerful ruler of the world. I am not the one who created the real world.
Mm.
If you define God as the one who exists everywhere in that other world, I suppose you could call me that.
Yeah, he kind of just very narrowly defining God as omnipresent, but not omnipotent.
Yes.
Or omniscient.
And straight up says, I only have a slight influence on the workings of your world.
Yeah, also real quick, and there is some implication in the chatter before this that something is deeply wrong with the current version of The Wired.
Yes.
Is this where the voice also kind of explicitly says that Lane is like a projection in the real world? Like you've always been here, and you're just in the real world. You're just some kind of projection.
He flat out says you were just a hologram of the other one.
Hologram, okay.
And that there has always been a version of Lane in The Wired.
Like he, you know, you can like read what he's saying quite literally here as like the first Lane was the digital one, and that this Lane is just the physical projection of that.
You start getting into the, you know, the like what that actually means here, which is the idea that like a being created in a digital world can have a real world reflection like this. Let's get into some stuff, man.
Yeah, well, this is where I've said before, like things start flipping, right? Where it's like, oh, it's not Lane projecting into the Wired, it's Wired Lane projecting into the real world.
Right.
Yeah. And the question I think you have to raise here is, okay, if the Lane that is in the digital world is there, and if you take it at face value that the one that is Lane of the Wired is in fact a version or a piece of the greater Lane, what happens when the real world reflection goes back into the digital world?
Bigger Lane? Are you a proponent of bigger Lane theory?
Like recursive Lane, like if you like, can Lane go into?
Is there
the
Lane feedback loop happening here? What's going on?
Can Lane then from inside the Wired project Lane back out into the real world that can then go back into the Wired and come back? Yeah, I don't know.
And when you start talking about this idea of like the real world and the Wired world actually just being the same, and you know, different resonances and parts of the same thing, that's, you know, look, man, you're getting into some shit here.
I mean, the real lesson here is, put your damn cell phones away in school, because she gets caught.
Is that what happens?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Everybody's looking at her like she's everybody on her business.
Like I don't know if this is a dream sequence or to be taken real literally, but it seems way beyond just what's going on in the class here, because everywhere she goes, people are staring at her.
Yeah, it's not just, like, she runs out of the class and then people outside are all staring at her.
I'm not sure if she's having a mental breakdown here or what, but, I mean, whatever, it's an extended sequence of consternation, which you assume is brought on by her questioning the very nature of her being and identity.
She's very sad.
Is what's going on here. It's, like, visually kind of hard to interpret. I'm looking at it again and, like, kind of, I feel like piecing it together better than I did last night.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's
what are you piecing together here?
Well, I mean, basically what I just said, that I don't know that I could expand on it more, just that this is all just kind of a freak out because what that dude said has rattled her so much. You know, am I even real? Am I actually just an echo? And then these text messages from Alice seem to send her completely over the edge, nuclear.
Yeah, like very literally.
Which is like a hell of a visual.
Yeah, so she gets this text message from Alice that says, don't worry about the rumors, don't worry about it. Which, you know, again, we don't really know what those rumors are at this point. And then once she gets that, yes, there is a very literal image of of Lane walking through what appears to be a massive explosion. Which then eventually leads to this, I call it uncomfortable, this image of Alice in her bedroom having a fantasy about her teacher. And then who is sitting there watching her but a very eager Lane of the Wired.
Jerk Lane.
Jerk Lane.
Not like, there's something super creepy about the way she looks in this. Not like those other bits in earlier episodes where they're like superimposing faces and stuff. Like it's just a face here, but like something about it is just like that grin is just sort of like maniacal and sinister in a way that's really unpleasant.
Like, she's just making kind of a happy face at first, and then as soon as the teeth start to bare a little bit, that's where it really fucking gets unsettling.
Yeah.
But also, like, okay, Alice is, like, obviously thinks she's having a private moment, fantasizing about this teacher or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, appalled that Lane is here, but she doesn't seem that freaked out that Lane is somehow in her room.
I think that's one of those things where you just kind of have to take at face value that, like, weird shit is constantly happening,
okay,
and that people's responses to it are not necessarily going to be what your response was going to be to it.
Okay.
But the thing you can divine, I think, is that, you know, the rumors that were probably being talked about here were that, you know, she had a crush on this teacher and had was having sexual fantasies about him. And in this case, what you're seeing here is that Lane of the Wired is likely the person that was spreading that rumor. And the thing that is alluded to here in this next bit where Lane is kind of fighting with Lane of the Wired in this kind of, you know, dream space, digital space, whatever you want to call it. The thing that the weird God voice also starts talking about is the idea that Lane, while also always being there in the Wired, has been seeing everything in the Wired.
Who are you? You're not me. There's just no way. I'd never do the kind of things that you've been doing.
Oh, spare me.
Just stop it. Why are you acting like the part of me that I hate? I wish you would just go away. I'll kill you.
Look at me. I'm committing suicide.
Why are you so warm? Why is it? Why do I have to feel your body heat? Is there no escaping you?
But how can you? I'm Lane just like you are now, aren't I?
No! No! What the hell? What are they?
They are all you. I said that you've always existed in the Wired, didn't I?
Yes.
You're exactly the same as me. You're omnipresent in the Wire, forever. Wherever anyone is, wherever they go, you have always been there. You've watched what they didn't allow any of the others to see. You've told everyone about it, that's all. It was the right thing to do. Don't worry. The Wired's information should be shared, shouldn't it?
All of it, all you've said, it's a lie.
Why is that?
Alice and all of the others. They said that they saw me in the Wired when I know I wasn't there. What really matters is that as long as I'm aware of myself, my true self is always right here inside of me. You're telling me that you've been passing off these dupes as me all along? What a load of garbage! If I'm really what you say I am and I'm totally deluded, then...
Then what? Lane.
All their memories of being seen by Lane. I could perhaps delete that information.
That's true. Give it a try. You were born with that kind of power inside of you.
I mean, I'll say for this part with Alice, it's like kind of crushing. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Alice is like, you know, relationship with Lane is broken. This is probably like, you know, as far as we get into the next episode, this feels like rock bottom for Lane. This is like the kind of nadir.
Emotionally, like absolutely.
Yeah, like which kind of, I think, leads up to the next events, which are maybe the most, like, definitely the weirdest thing that has happened so far.
Well, before we get to that, I just want to talk about what this voice is saying to her. You know, she has her little sort of fight with Lane of the Wired and makes the, you know, I'm going to say, meaningful comment to say, why are you warm? Why, when she tries to wrap her hands around Lane of the Wired's throat, she's like, you are warm. You emanate heat. You feel like a person. And the thing she kind of says is like, we're the same. We're the same thing. You and I are the same thing. We are all Lane. You are all Lane. We are Lane. And then when she kind of gets to this other thing where these, like, you know, chattering fucking, you know, forest spirit figures with her head on them are hanging out, the god figure says, wherever anyone is, wherever they go, you have always been there.
I don't know where things are going. Like, I don't know if we live in
really?
A lane. I don't know.
This doesn't clarify things for you?
Do we live in a Lane world, or does Lane live in our world? I don't know, or both.
Is it all Lane? Is none of it Lane? Is Lane a person? Is Lane software? What is Lane?
I don't know what Lane is.
Are these dupes Lane?
It's like is this God? Is this the being that has been referred to as God?
I believe so, because he says, you're like me. You're omnipresent in the wire.
Right. Yeah, like God's implication here that privacy is pretty wild. Of just like, you were everywhere, so you were seeing the things that even whether people wanted you to see them or not, that's just information. Information exists to be shared, right? Like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you tell everybody about that? Like, you know about it, so you have to share it. It's just information. Like, the idea that privacy basically shouldn't exist. Pretty wild.
But this is also where the idea is implanted in her head that, like, what are you going to do? Now that everyone knows that you were the one spreading these rumors, what are you going to do about it?
Well, if it's just information, I know what I'm going to do. Put that shit in the recycle bin.
Yep.
Empty,
say nah.
Empty trash.
What if we just deleted people's memories? The memories of being seen by Lane. So she does it.
And it seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to.
And also, she feels important that she comes to this conclusion entirely by herself. God does not tell her, hey, you could do this, you might want to do this.
I think all he says is, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Do it.
So it's not like this is a corrupting influence, this is her
coming to the realization, yeah.
But then she has like a vision, of, is it supposed to be a vision of like another reality Lane hanging out with her friends? Or, because she kind of feels like she's detached from that reality at that point. Right? Like, she's like watching it happen.
I don't think you're supposed to fully understand what's happening here, but the thing you see is that her friends come running up to her at school, though, to be fair, it is a, you know, blinding white area that could be school, could be anywhere. And they're all happy to see her and have clearly forgotten, you know, that she went out there and was telling some stories. But then when she goes to reach out to them, another version of herself emerges from her and runs out to embrace her friends. And this version of Lane doesn't even really seem like Lane of the Wired. It's a totally different girl that feels like just a normal schoolgirl.
Yeah. Just like, hey, let's go. Like, gives him like a hug and is like, let's go. Let's do this. Let's have life.
And the only indication you get that it might be Lane of the Wired is that at the end, the other Lane kind of walks up to her and makes that smile at her, which is still just fucking creepy, man.
Yeah.
And then she blinks out. That's it. Gone. And everyone's gone.
End of episode. She's at her computer, right?
Well,
end of episode.
She goes to her computer. She's like, there's no other me but me, right? I'm me, right? Right?
Oh, Lane.
And the computer just kind of whispers some digital noise at her.
Well, hey, can't wait to go through all the answers we get in the next episode.
The Metal Gear episode.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Episode 9, Layer 9, Protocol. Boys, let's just get into it.
On July 4th, 1947, a strange aircraft had crashed in the desert in New Mexico, America. The area was contained at once by government agents. What it actually was has yet to be proven conclusively. For now, conjecture has become fact, and rumor has become history.
I have actually got to tell you something real quick, which is that my parents
got
it.
If I want to be free of suffering, I should believe in God?
That's part of it, yes. I mean, that's always...
Okay,
like, a nice man came to the door this morning and told me the good word.
Mm-hmm.
My parents bought an OLED this week and I've been helping them set it up. And so we've, of course, been looking for opportunities to just watch cool stuff on it. And I had one episode left this morning and I was like, hey dad, I got to watch a thing for podcasts. You want to see something else on the TV that looks interesting? Why don't you join me?
Okay.
If you got 20 minutes, you just want to plop down and check this out with me. Don't expect it to make a lot of sense, but it'll look cool. And it was this episode.
Great.
Oh,
and
boy.
At the end of it, I was like, okay. I know I told you not to expect it to make a lot of sense, but, like, I'm sorry.
How was he by the end of it?
So flabbergasted.
Yeah, fair.
Even I was, like, shocked at how... like, even by this show's standards, this was by far the most out there, unconventional. I don't know, man. Let's get into it.
So Alex, we talked a little bit before we started recording, but this mm-hmm. is a huge, like, feels like a again, Metal Gear mixing nuggets of truth with conspiracy theory with then some just straight fiction. But have you gone and looked through to see what is invented and what is real?
Almost all of it is real.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Except for the bits where you can tell that they are now interweaving their story with all this other stuff. All the things they say in this, maybe not true in the sense that, like, maybe there wasn't actually a Roswell crash and all this other stuff. Uh-huh. But the thing that they say about, the Majestic 12 documents, this television producer, Jaime Shandera.
Project Xanadu.
All the Project Xanadu stuff, all that stuff is real. Like, there is a real story and a real person attached to all of that.
Great. All right, let's get into it then, because this is,
it kicks off with the only place it can start, which is, again, with the Roswell crash of 1947 in New Mexico, America.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, again, just to reiterate, a ton of real, like, stock footage in this.
Yes. And photos, file photos of real people. Though they kick this off without getting too deep into that, just by saying, you know, hey, there was a crash in 1947, conjecture has become fact, rumor has become history. And then Lane, by the way, we do learn about the fate of Lane's stuffed animals. They're fine.
They're fine.
They're still on the window. She still has her bear suit.
Yep.
And then she's visited by an alien in a Freddy Krueger sweater.
Yep. Just a gray
what
man.
What the fuck?
Just in the doorway. Just a brief brief visit.
The little smile he gives
mm-hmm.
is, I'm going to say, in my top three favorite images mm-hmm. of this entire show.
She also doesn't seem too upset after he vanishes from existence.
Well, she, like, calls out to him because she hears someone open the door, kind of crawls out to look to see who it is. It's just this little guy standing in the doorway. He kind of smiles at her. And then disappears. And she's just like, she has the look of like, look, this is just one more fucking thing, man. I don't know. I just, like, it doesn't really faze her that much.
No. And then we get our next Codex call.
Yes. This is the stuff about Jaime Shandera, the TV producer who apparently received this microfilm with all this stuff about the Majestic 12.
In 1984, an envelope arrived at the home of TV producer Jamie Shandella. The envelope, from an anonymous source, contained a roll of undeveloped film. The film contained what has now come to be known as the MJ-12 document. Roscoe Hillenkoetter, head of the CIA at the time of the Roswell incident, was at the top of the list of 12 members. It stated that these men signed a secret treaty with extraterrestrials from the spacecraft as a special organization answerable only to the president. It is now accepted that President Truman's signature was in fact a forgery, copied carefully from another document without his knowledge. Named as a member on the MJ-12 document was an MIT professor, head of the Department of Electrical Engineering, Vannevar Bush.
Which, again, is a real-life thing, at least insofar as there is a real-life conspiracy theory around it. And involves a bunch of figures in, you know, post-war America, science and technology and defense. And the stuff they start saying here about Vannevar Bush, head of the OSRD during World War II, and his stuff involving analog computers and the MEMEX system,
mm-hmm.
that's all real!
President Truman's Ford signature.
That is also part of the conspiracy. Is yes, they discover that whatever document they had the signature of President Truman was in fact cut and pasted onto the document. Who did it for what purposes? Who the fuck can say? But that is a real thing.
I love it. Love it. Of course. Yeah. Of course this happened.
And then we cut back to the Wired here with Lane talking to a bunch of ears, noses, and eyes who are kind of giving her some information. But all right, so let's start talking about some of these things that are talked about in these little interstitial bits.
In 1945, Vannevar Bush developed a memory expansion concept called Memex. It was a system whereby information recorded on microfilm was then projected directly onto a translucent screen. What he envisioned was the compression and rapid access of information. Even before the advent of computers, Vannevar Bush had already created the basis for our current multimedia explosion, while at the same time, he was leading the Manhattan Project atom bomb experiments.
What do y'all know about Vannevar Bush and the Memex system?
Nothing.
Not much.
Okay. My understanding about Memex is that it is, how do I describe this? Because I am definitely not an expert in this sort of thing. It was sort of like a microfiche type thing. The idea was that it would be a microfilm-based device in which an individual stores all his books, records, and communications, and which is mechanized so that it may be consulted with exceeding speed and flexibility. The idea being that it would essentially, you know, this was sort of the precursor to things like hyperlinks and hypertext.
It's like a search database, essentially, like a pre microprocessor, like analog system for efficient storage and search of documents.
Yes.
Is it real or is it Memex?
I don't think it was ever actually attempted, was it?
No, it was a concept that was, you know, he wrote about and in detail, but it was never put into practice. But again, it is the thing that kind of became the precursor to things like hypertext. And, you know, it's, you can assume that it has something to do with everything that we're doing here, but because, I mean, a lot of this is just kind of tied into the history of computers and technology in the 20th century.
Well, and a lot of these interludes describe different types of unconventional networking.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, yeah. Sort of, in a way. I mean, this is kind of networking information, but there's like the later stuff with how dolphins essentially create a distributed network of sonar waves.
Oh, wait. Underwater. You're missing a key component here, unless you're about to get to it.
Oh, we'll get to it in a moment. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because this is a big one.
What's that?
The echo stuff. But we'll talk in a moment here.
Yeah. And then there's the Xanadu stuff later. All I mean is there's a theme to a lot of these that are about essentially other constructs that are of the same nature as what the Wired or the internet is, right?
Does hypertext just mean text with links embedded in it? Is that all hypertext really?
Think so,
like interconnected, like basically you can reference other text.
Yeah, it's just linking. Referential text. Yeah. You know, it has a link to something else.
I think that's all it is.
Like basically like wiki style, like you can link from one to another. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into the dolphin stuff here in a moment, but before that, we're back in Siberia.
Hang on, I just have to mention real quick. I just randomly went to the hypertext Wikipedia page.
Uh-huh.
Like three images down, a picture of Vannevar Bush.
Yep.
Of course.
So
they
knew. It all leads to him, man.
It's all connected. Wait a minute. And then here's two more images down. Here is Ted Nilsson and Project Xanadu.
Weird.
Who would have thought?
It's almost like, well, I mean, Wikipedia, I don't think existed in 1998, no. But, you know, well, they may be reading some of the same books, we'll say.
Yes.
Yes. Before we get to the dolphin stuff, I just want to mention they are back at Siberia here. Lane has gone up to the DJ guy, and he has an envelope for her that she supposedly left at the bar last night, though she doesn't remember that. And it's another one of those memory chips that got the Knights logo on it.
Yeah. We still don't know what the hell these things do.
No. We get a little bit of an explanation at the end of this, though even that is still not completely clear. But before we can get to that, we have to talk about Native American narcotics and isolation tanks.
That's right. How are we going to communicate? You got to expand your mind, man.
conducting sensory deprivation experiments using a variety of techniques, such as Native American narcotics and isolation tanks, to probe the depths of the human unconscious. John C. Lilly believed his experiments connected him to cosmic entities by way of a broad-based communication network. Lilly dubbed the beings that were guiding him ECCO, Earth Coincidence Control Office. Soon afterwards, Lilly began work on communication with dolphins. These dolphins are incredible creatures, which are able to conduct an array of wide-range networking exercises via ultrasonic waves.
Yeah, so this is, what do we got here? This is John Lilly. Real guy. And I wrote the most stuff down about John C. Lilly here.
Tell me.
So in real life, physician. Neuroscientist, psychoanalyst, psychonaut, philosopher, writer, inventor. He invented the concept of the isolation tank, the sensory deprivation tank. He also began trying to communicate with dolphins. That is a real thing that he did in the real world. His work inspired two films, The Day of the Dolphin and Altered States.
And
the video game series Echo the Dolphin.
I completely failed to make that connection the first time. I was so, like, on my ass about everything else in this episode, and also, like, watching my dad to see how he was reacting that I did not make the connection of Echo and a dolphin. Oh my god.
Yes, that's the part that I was like, wait a second. Because what does the Echo stand for? I forget
Earth Coincidence Control Office.
Yes.
I mean, isn't the title, Echo was abbreviated in the title of the video game, isn't it?
Yes, and I believe the Earth Coincidence something office is mentioned in that video game, if I remember correctly.
Is it?
I was wrong. Echo is just capital E spelled out in the title, but man, wild.
And one of his more wild concepts here, I read through his entire Wikipedia. I put this one out because I thought it was kind of amazing. I'm just going to read this verbatim. He came up with this concept called solid-state intelligence.
Okay.
It is a malevolent entity described by Lilly in his 1978 autobiography, The Scientist. To him, in his mind, it was a network of computation-capable solid-state systems engineered by humans that will eventually develop into an autonomous bioform.
The Terminator.
Since the optimal survival conditions for this bioform, low temperature vacuum, are drastically different from those of humans' need, Lilly predicted, or prophesized, based on his ketamine-induced visions, by the way, a dramatic conflict between the two forms of intelligence.
Literally the Terminator.
So Lilly basically was at the forefront of AI's gonna kill us all.
Yeah. Yes. I assume, I wonder if the vacuum stuff is heat dissipation. I wonder if it is like, I mean, I'm sure vacuum tubes at that time were putting off a lot of heat. And
totally.
Like look, expand your mind. Think out there.
Yeah. Get out there. Get check out these coincidences. It's fucking crazy.
Talk to some dolphins who can then talk to some aliens.
Take some fucking ketamine. Get in a separate sensory deprivation tank. Who cares? Let's do it.
Let's do this. Channel something.
I have some experience with folks of this notion, you know, having hippie parents who were at very least vaguely interested in psychological expansion and things like that. How weird does this shit sound to you when you hear it or see it dictated to you this way?
Pretty weird. I don't know. Like the underwater dolphin net, the dolphin internet. Is actually kind of an interesting concept.
They are
nodes that contain information and can send it back and forth across distances.
Totally.
Like, you don't get this kind of free thinking nowadays. Everything's all provable. Everything's all science now. You don't get this kind of disruption for the thinking industry.
No, the problem now is that all our conspiratorial thinking has just gone in the garbage bin. It's no longer like, man, what if the dolphins That's were right. out there like communicating with aliens, man? Now it's just like, no, fucking vaccines give you the 5G virus.
Yeah,
That's
it's boring.
All it is.
It's boring now. Like, conspiracy theories used to be fun.
Yeah, I feel like conspiracy theories now always have a victim. Right, there's always like, oh, like it, there's something, and these people are to blame, and they're squashing me, versus like there's something, and the aliens are talking to dolphins. Maybe the dolphins are the aliens. We should hook up with these folks. They know what's going on.
Nobody wants to expand their mind anymore. They just want to yell about adrenochrome. It fucking sucks.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I'm not saying we need more ketamine on our scientists need to be in isolation.
We might.
Changers,
I don't know. Is the thing.
Yeah.
He seemed to like it.
Look, there was a lot of really weird stuff going on between the 50s and 70s that not all fun. No. I should say.
They
some
talk
very,
about a lot of that
bad.
In Psychonauts 2, actually, I think.
And some very exploitative of certain groups. I don't want to say, I don't want to minimize the, experimentation.
I'm not saying there wasn't bad shit going on around all this. I'm saying it wasn't as dark as it has gotten now.
Some of it was pretty dark. Because it was government-funded darkness.
Yes.
And it wasn't just crackpots, but...
But communing with dolphins, I don't think, was near the worst of it by any stretch.
Yeah. Yes. No. So, yeah. How weird is this stuff?
Fairly.
It makes a lot of the media we have around this, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide, stuff like that, make a little more sense given the context of the time period of... Yeah, man, what if before we had an actual internet that we could just jump on, like, what if these forms of communication existed? And now we now we just have the internet, which...
What if now we have the way to tap into them?
Yeah, yeah. So, it's, interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And from here, she's still at the club, and she meets up with the Hacker Moppets again, Taro, in the real world. And she's like, you owe me a date, motherfucker.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
I'm taking you home. You go look at my cooling system.
Yes, first date straight to her bedroom.
Yep. And
but
she,
what a bedroom.
It is. I mean, to be fair, it's a hell of a bedroom. Yeah. And he's pretty impressed with her rig.
Her bedroom looks like the inside of Unicron.
Yeah.
Kinda. Yeah.
I meant to say that last time, but it is so reminiscent of the innards of Unicron, which was also animated in that movie was also animated in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's fair. But yes, she immediately accosts him and is like, all right, what the fuck is this chip? What is this? What are we doing here? Are you one of the knights? What's going on?
I can't believe that you put all of this together. Oh, okay. This syncs up with the parallel processors, right? It's not pretty, but that way you can keep expanding it. The number of upgrades it can handle is unlimited. What are you using as a coolant?
Taro.
And is that liquid carbon?
Sit down over there.
Damn.
I think you know what this is.
Huh?
It's you, isn't it, Taro? You're with the knights, aren't you?
You must be the real Lane.
I honestly don't know whether or not there's another me in the Wired. I can only speak from my own experiences. But no, there's definitely no other me that's coexisting here in the real world. You must believe me. The other one with a body has only appeared in the club. Outside of there, it's been me. You only need to manipulate the memories of the people there. Isn't that right?
But I just can't.
Play track 44.
And right as she's doing that, she's like, computer, play track 44. Drum and bass, let's go.
Take me to the club scene.
That track. And it's the best part is that, like, she just turns it off before she even really does anything after that. She just wants to assault him with drum and bass for a few seconds.
Well, I think she, but the implication here is that she is kind of threatening him with real Lane, basically. Like, hey, you know real Lane's in the club. Guess what, motherfucker? We're in the club.
I'm now threatening you with a good time, motherfucker. Let's go.
Yeah, that's right. Turns out, not a knight, maybe a squire. Maybe a low
someone
level.
Doing some contract work with the knights.
Errand boy.
Yeah.
This weird moment with her parents and her sister. While this is going on, and you can hear the music thumping upstairs.
It's almost over. It is, isn't it? Thank God.
Finally, while we still can.
Right.
What is it they say? Or like her dad over? Says something like it's finally almost over.
Finally.
The music. The party's almost over.
Whatever it is he's referring to.
And like, the mom is just like, well, if it's almost over, we should probably fuck, right?
which I took as like, get some physical stuff in because maybe we're all about to ascend. I don't know.
Maybe we're all about to become ones and zeros. Who can say?
Yeah, the physical's like about to go away.
Trying to get a read on whether they're like afraid of Lane or some kind of mistrust or fear or something there.
There's definitely a degree of like awe and fear, I think, though, what that means, who can say. And then Mika, let's just say someone's calling, but nobody's answering.
It was the bit of Mika talking into her hand that I think that really sent my dad over the edge.
Oh, beep, beep, beep. Understood. Beep, beep, beep. Now communicating, logging on. Beep, beep, gah.
Yeah,
it's creepy.
Of just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, that's a fair response.
Especially,
I'm just saying, even if you know the context, that is still a fair response.
Especially how much this episode jumps around, even compared to others.
Yeah,
she's gone, man. And Lane is just in full-on shoving computer chips into the guy's mouth, being like, tell me what the fuck this is!
Ooh, what is it? What does it do if I do this? Huh? What if I shove it in your port?
It's not me! Damn it! I knew the data coming into JJ's place had this kind of effect. I just didn't know all the specifics! Believe me!
Tato, if I had tried to install this computer chip, do you know what would have happened to me? Would I have killed myself or gone insane?
I said I don't know. There's just no way that a young kid like me could be a formal Knights member. To them, I'm just a...
I wonder what this will do.
It's not volatile memory. It'll overwrite existing memories. I'm telling you the truth.
What kind of memories?
I don't know.
So I think what he says is that it's a memory chip that overwrites existing memory. And she asks what with what, and he says, I don't know.
Yeah, this part didn't make any much sense to me. I wasn't really sure what they were getting at here.
And it's also, non-volatile memory. It'll overwrite existing memories.
Also, like, human memories, like memory in a computing context. What are they talking about here? Because, I started to say we haven't had any sense that hardware could work on people, but there was that thing you could swallow.
Oh, we're right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That early on, so, like... But this is a straight-up circuit board with a like an interface on it, like clearly meant to be plugged into a computer. So what memories and owned by whom are we talking about here? I don't know.
But again, when you're talking about a world where the digital and the real are becoming increasingly intertwined, maybe it is a thing where someone plugged into the wired who gets hit with whatever's on this chip might have something overwritten.
Yeah, possibly. And he starts going over his kind of dogma a little bit about the truth. The one truth is the real truth.
I don't know what that truth is, but it sounds really cool, right?
Yeah, right. I don't know. When
they won't tell me what it is.
Look, when you hear them say it, it makes a lot of sense, okay?
Yeah.
I'm maybe not doing it justice, but when you hear them talk about it, boy, okay.
These guys, man, they could sell you on anything.
Yeah.
But then he gives her a kiss on the way out and clearly has like planted something in her mouth that we can't see what. So
it
like,
looks like chewing gum.
Yeah, it seems like something is probably inside the gum that is the actual thing that matters there. But
yeah,
it almost reads like why would he give her? Why would he give it to her that way unless he was worried they were listening
or watching?
You know,
yeah,
like he's talking the talk there. Seems like towing the knight's line, but then slipping her whatever this item is on the sly. So that maybe he's or his allegiance is unclear. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah, is it the is it like the thing that keeps you aware, keeps you good?
Nah, we're not going to get into any of that shit because we got to talk about Ted Nelson for a little bit.
Ted Nelson, a scientist who studied under the two cult pioneers Vannevar Bush and John C. Lilly, expanded on their theories. He proposed a giant electronic library in satellites in stationary orbit, which could be used at any terminal on Earth via radio and telephone lines. He called this daring concept that would make an interactive global database a reality, Xanadu, after the mythical country. Also known as the Mongolian Utopia, where all written cultures would be forever preserved and live on for all eternity. This was Xanadu. And so it was the innovative concept called hypertext that would finally make it a reality. And Ted Nelson's name would go down in history as its esteemed originator.
Old Teddy Nelson.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, I suppose Project Xanadu makes some sense in a world with communication satellites but no internet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the guy who coined the terms hypertext and hypermedia.
Oh.
He did not. I don't know if he did any actual technological inventing, but he was the one who like coined the terms back in the 60s before anyone had really tried to do anything with this stuff. And yes, then there is Project Xanadu, which... Project Xanadu.
Project Xanadu.
A giant electronic library in satellites in stationary orbit.
Dude, it like... In a proto network of like in a proto world where people just don't have a bunch of little computers around, mm-hmm. I could totally see where you're like, this is the way to move information quickly.
Yeah.
Like, here's our best bet. It makes sense.
Yeah. Although it seems like he's got this vision of a read only repository, like it's the Library of Alexandria or something. It's not like here is a network for people to do shit on. It's like here is the sanctified body of human knowledge. That is just going to sit there in space and anybody can access it, but it is the knowledge, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Look, like, upload speeds still suck.
You mean the Mongolian utopia where all written cultures would never be lost?
Of course, that's what I mean. What did you think of
it? Oh, right, yes, he mentions that, yeah.
I forgot about
that.
It's a hell of a thing, this Project Xanadu. Yeah.
Again, believable.
Yep.
Very believable.
And then we get into Vision Town here for a little bit. We see an image of Lane being taken to a room by her father while she's wearing her school uniform.
Is this where she's presented to like the family?
Yeah, she's like kind of confronted with her family.
Yes, she's presented with her family, but then also she is also presented. Well, yeah. So wait, it's the knights or the eyes in the black. Rather, bring her to the house where she's presented with the family.
Right.
The dad brings her to her bedroom where the version with her dad seems to be staring into what looks like her old bedroom, but then inside the current bedroom, Lane can see them staring back at her.
Yes.
And that's confusing because then she starts talking to the girls like, is that me? And she's like, yes, this is me. And we're getting back into this whole thing of which lane is real, how many lanes are there. Oh, let's just abandon all that and talk about the Schumann resonance.
The Earth, while orbiting the Sun, has its own specific electromagnetic waves. Between the ionosphere and the Earth's surface, there is a constant resonance at a frequency of 8 Hz in the ELF band range of frequencies. This is called the Schumann resonance. However, the extent of the effect on human subjects of these Earth brain waves that the planet constantly gives off is impossible to quantify and remains a mystery. The human population of the Earth is approaching that of the number of neurons in the brain. Douglas Rushkoff proposes that the consciousness of the Earth itself might be awakened when all humans on Earth become collectively networked and resonate at the same frequency. The evolution of the network would follow a neural model path. And just as neurons within the human brain are connected by synapses, the Earth itself would become a single neural network.
There's a little like, hey, what do you know? Oh, shit, right. You don't know anything more than I know because we're the same person. Ah, fuck it. Right.
I'm your brain. I can't give you any new information you don't already know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I really liked.
So then we get like the ultimate expression of this idea of forming networks.
Oh, the elf band?
By essentially positing the idea of turning the Earth itself into a brain.
Hell yes.
Where every person on Earth is an individual neuron.
Now, the question is, does that already exist?
I don't know.
The 8 Hertz and the Elf Band?
Yeah. Are we already? Is existence in this universe, are we just the neurons of a gigantic universe brain?
Maybe the Earth already is a brain. Who can say?
Yeah.
Yeah, could be. Could be. Well, with the I think in Hitchhiker's Guide, the Earth is just a computer, right?
Right.
It's just there to get the answer.
I was really hoping one of you guys would have the answer to that question, because, man, this shit, like, the first time I fucking watched it really just, like, set my brain on fire.
Yeah, we're just set up as a giant computation to find, I think it's in the Hitchhiker's Guide, is to find the question to the answer, but yeah, sure, believe it. Look, radio waves are weird, man.
Yeah, radio waves are weird, there's only one truth, God. Me.
Schumann resonance.
The Schumann resonance, which is a real thing. Again, this is where the demarcation line between stuff that is real and stuff they are doing for the story hits. The Schumann resonance is real. Masami Eri, not real.
Masami Eri, chief researcher at Tachibana General Labs, further developed the hypothesis of a worldwide neural network. His hypothesis proposed this wireless network whereby all of humanity would be plugged in at an unconscious level without the need for any technical support or ancillary device. Furthermore, he carefully encoded the Schumann resonance factor and inserted it into the 7th Gen Wired Protocol on his own initiative. Upon discovering this, Tachibana General Labs dismissed Eri. 1 week later, Masami Eri's body was found alongside the tracks on the Yamanote train line.
Part of the show.
Yeah, we should mention that's where this ties into this story, is this, like, rogue Tachibana guy has encoded that frequency into the 7th generation wired protocol.
Uh-huh.
This is the thing I mentioned earlier where it becomes clear that all this talk about the protocol is, like, the software that runs the wired.
Yes.
So what I was getting out of this is that somebody, when they were making 5G, said, I'm gonna tap into the natural harmonics that are or natural resonances that are in every person, and I'm gonna encode that into the 5G protocol. And 5G is actually taking over your brain.
Yes. Rather, your brain can exist on the same wavelength as the 7th generation protocol.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like, what we've got here is yet another layer being added on the already numerous layers of identity and reality of, like, oh, maybe this new version of the wired is just going to turn the entire Earth into, you know, everything's going to, it's all going to be a big brain.
Yeah.
It's in the software. And then that guy was found dead. And then she meets God.
Yep.
And just to be clear, the guy was rogue, right?
To Tachibana and the official record, he was considered a rogue agent because he had inserted this without telling the company he was doing it.
Right.
They let him go. Say again, this person's name is Eri Masami.
Uh-huh.
And he was, I think the implication is that he was supposed to have committed suicide, or at least that was the official line for what happened. They found him dead at a train station. And then I just want you guys, if you don't mind, if you can pull up the black and white photo of Masami staring at a computer screen and the fellow who is standing next to him.
Mm-hmm.
108. Okay, I'm there. It looks like Lane's dad.
Yeah. Does that guy look an awful lot like Lane's dad?
Guy looks like Lane's dad.
Yeah, sure. I could see it.
Not knowing the true nature of Lane's dad, does this maybe give you some ideas of what might be going on here?
I had not I didn't notice this earlier, but yeah, it sure does. I mean, that feeds right back into the stuff I was talking about earlier of, like, maybe Lane was created, not born.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's the product of some serial experiments, perhaps?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Who can say?
Well,
one person can maybe say. And he's wrapped in duct tape.
Is it the person who fell out of a different anime?
Yes.
At the end here? Just some other
you mean
other
the trickster,
anime?
The long-haired trickster demon who looks like he's in a fucking Visual K band?
Yes.
That's who I took to be God. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but, like, that was my first thought, was this is the physical embodiment or projection of the voice who claims to be God that she's been talking to, I assume. Who else
do you have any ideas about who that is?
I mean, no, I just assumed it's somebody we haven't met or don't have any connection to yet.
Oh, well, I thought it was the scientist who was found dead.
So here's the thing. If you look at the face, they show the file photo of Masami, and then you look at that guy's face up close, it's the same guy.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
Yes.
I just assumed that because they were leading up to, like, this guy was dead and the whole thing.
If you look at the newspaper photo of him where it's just, like, his face dead on, and then you look at that final, like, creepy smile he's giving at the end, that's the same guy.
Yeah, when I back up and look at the file photo, I guess I can kind of see it. Huh.
Look, he found a way to get in there, man.
Interesting.
He jumped planes. He knew what he was doing.
I wouldn't say this if I thought it was a legitimate spoiler and not something that they had just showed in that episode, but they straight up show it. So.
Yeah, fair.
All right. So, at this point, we've got to recalibrate a little bit where we're ending here for me personally. We are now at point where internet and real world are bleeding together because the way that the internet works has now been constructed to basically function the way that human brains in the show also work, or humans work. So the line between the wired and reality does not exist anymore, as this protocol has rolled out and blurred all those lines. Lane, I am going with Lane now as a construct of the wired that has bled into the real world. Rogue Tachibana guy is the voice of God. It's basically has the most control over the wired portion of this thing. Lane maybe is like the Jesus-like figure who is straddling the wired and the mortal realm, and maybe has to die for our sins at some point. I don't know. But the dad realized that this Lane has come into the world. The Men in Black, Tachibana's group of thugs, were like, this is your problem. You deal with this. You take this physical manifestation of the wired, and it's going to live with you now. And the dad is aware that there's a convergence happening, and that the, I forget the scientist's name, the guy who died.
Masami.
Masami.
Aerie Masami.
Is basically winning. The convergence is happening. The dad and the mom know that it's not long before the physical is gone or irrelevant. That's where I'm going with.
Are we just heading for the Mass Effect synthesis ending? Is everybody about to become digital? Is a guy's hat going to become cyber?
I think based on what I'm getting from the vibes, at least where I was at when I first watched these, is that I don't think that's the happy ending that synthesis seems to kind of at least be gesturing toward.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Lane. Lane is going to have some kind of, maybe like Mass Effect, sacrifice to sever the world, you know, like Lane.
Disconnect everything.
Yeah, Lane feels like, or it's going to be a merging of wired Lane and real Lane in this kind of like nuclear explosion that severs the server, blows up the protocol or something. But maybe it does have an happy ending where after that, this is just my hypothesis, there's like a shot of like real world Lane reborn, you know, some kind of like, wow, maybe that is the synthesis ending where Lane's digitized self becomes a real kid.
Okay.
I don't know.
You're saying it's a Pinocchio story.
I like that would be the nice, like the feel good part at the end after Lane does this, what looks like a sacrifice, I think, to do this thing to like, I just don't think we get out of this without some sadness. I feel like that's where we're headed.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
What the form that sadness takes, I don't want to give any indication here. But yeah, I think it's safe to say something bad will probably happen between now and the end of the series.
Yeah. I hope we get a little bit of motivation for this character. For wanting to merge the digital and the real, like, I don't know, maybe like transhumanism or like whatever they want to, like, this is the next step of human evolution or taking it beyond, or humanity's doomed, and not just like, oh, I thought that would be cool.
I, you know, look, in the grand scheme of, you know, anime and Metal Gear villains, I think there's very little chance you're not going to get some kind of proselytizing about like a larger aim, you know?
Okay. All right. Did you guys ever read the book Childhood's End?
No,
I never have.
Okay. It's very short. It's pretty good. Some of this reminds me a little bit of that.
Mm.
Not less with the computer stuff, but I'm really curious to see where we go. We only got one more block here, right?
Yeah.
Four more episodes, plenty of time to reveal answers or just make things way more complicated.
My vague recollection, and granted it's been a couple of years since I watched this for the first time, is that they may bat you around a little bit longer, but then it does start kind of winding its way just to its conclusion. So we will have some answers by the time our podcast wraps up next week. But for now, I will just say, Brad, please apologize to your dad on my behalf for what we subjected him to. That's a hard one to get completely free of context, even in context.
Look, it was an interesting 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Hopefully it looked very good, and the color space was very good. The contrast
really all that matters.
Was great, yeah.
Well, all right, so we have, as we said, four more episodes here, four more layers to get through, and they will all be addressed on next week's episode, our final one for Serial Experiments Lane. And those layers are love, infornography, landscape, and ego.
Okay.
I think you can probably divine a couple of things from some of those titles. I feel like there have, at the very least, these titles up to this point have been fairly thematic for what's going on in the episode. But I'm really looking forward to seeing how you guys feel about this all as it's wrapped up. You know, I've seen some people in the Discord talking like, man, if I was not an anime fan and this was my first time really watching something like this, I would be drowning right now. And I know you guys are at least a little bit anime aligned, but I do feel like I kind of threw everyone into the deep end here.
Nah, like, look, I feel like Brad and I have at least played enough video games where this is very Metal Gear here.
Yes.
Like, I think we are familiar with this style of bebopping around historical facts, right?
Yes.
Like, Brad, you feel the same way? This feels like this could have dropped out of any Japanese JRPG or, you know, any of those things where you're like, oh, sure. Sometimes you just get on the train and shut your mouth and open your eyes.
Yep. Storytelling through hypertext.
That's right.
All right. Well, we will have those episodes next week, and then we will announce on next week's show what we will be doing in the following month. It will probably still be more not Hollywood stuff, because that strike does not seem like it is going to end in the immediate future. So look out for the announcements of that next week. Look out for those final four episodes. And as always, thank you, Brad. Thank you, Vinny.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone who has been listening and watching at home along with us. We'll see you next time.